Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
It's time to talk about plants today, talking pass-along plants. And Hester McDonald is here to tell us exactly what that means. Welcome back to Dig It, Hester.
Thank you.
Tell me, what do you mean pass-along plants?
So it's an American term, but it's been made more popular recently with kind of the rise of younger kind of Instagram gardeners who want to share plants that are free or very low cost to acquire and then to look after. So the original idea, I think it was kind of an older idea that these were plants, they were either heirloom plants or plants that maybe even, you know, you would take with you when you packed up your wagon and moved with it. And they generally are plants that you can just dig a bigger bit up out of your garden or just pull them up, as the plants I've got here with me today attest, and then just give them to somebody else and they can take them away with them and put them in their garden.
So are they easy? Are they all particularly easy?
They're particularly easy, and they're also particularly, I would term them generous plants. They do all the hard work of propagation themselves. Mm. And then you just need to dig the bits up or pull them apart.
The first plant I had that I became aware of this was a spider plant, one of the easiest plants.
Exactly.
I was, in fact, given a spider plant that tended to make what I would call little spidey babies.
Yeah, I discovered recently that some people call them spiderettes.
Spiderettes.
Isn't that a lovely word?
So spider plant, if you can't picture it, just one like very, very long, thin leaves, very easy to take care of. They tend to tell you if they're desperate for water. Or desperate for sunshine, which is what I love about them. But this one that I've got, and I've only got one that does it, they will then sprout off and they'll have the little tiny white flowers. And I've made lots of other, I've got them all over my house now, and I've given lots of them away because I've got one that does sprout out with these babies. But the other little spiderettes, the other plants, they haven't sprouted yet. So when can I expect the next
generation? It's partly
generation?
Age and it's partly sort of plants. Some of them don't do it as readily as others.
I see.
That's it, really. So if yours are readily doing it, it means they're really happy.
Great.
And are seeking to take over your entire neighbourhood.
Definitely.
And you're enabling that.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Apart from spider plants, what are the other real common plants?
Aloes or anything like that. Aloes or any of the other succulents. Most of them make these little offsets, these babies, around the parent plant. And when the baby's big enough, and really it doesn't have to be, you know, much bigger than kind of your little finger, you can carefully sever it from the parent plant, dig it up, put it in a pot of its own, and off it goes. They're really fantastic.
What about anything outdoors?
So, in fact, I have some here. I have some. These are called echeveria. These are hen and chick plants. I'm going to pass one over to you. I have a whole bag of these. I mentioned it to my friend Louise, who has these all over her garden.
These are very cool. They look like little kind of succulents.
They look like little... They are succulents. Yeah, they look like little rosettes. And they've got this long tail of a root. And these came out of a very shallow planter by my friend's front door. And she has put them all over her garden. They're on a green roof. They're tucked in between plants. And they're brilliant. And the thing about them is that they just make these little offsets themselves, and you just need to pull them up and stuff them in wherever you like,
and then they'll just carry on.
They'll just carry on. There's a very good reason why their common name is hen and chicks, because you're just picking up the little chicks and putting them somewhere else,
just popping them somewhere,
and just put them in somewhere else.
Sorry, what's this called again?
An echeveria or echeveria.
All right, we'll pop a picture of this on Instagram.
Yeah, they're beautiful as well, and they're just kind of perfect Fibonacci arrangements. I love them. Mm. Mathematically, very beautiful. So they're great. Lots of other succulents do the same thing, and oddly enough, so do strawberries.
A strawberry is a good
strawberries do exactly the same thing. Yes, yeah, so they spread by runners, strawberries do. And these are these long, traily stems which wherever they touch the soil, they root themselves, which is brilliant for if you want to hand them on to somebody else. They root themselves and make a whole new plant. You then just need to snip them. Or they will then sever themselves from the parent plant, but you can snip them and then, hey, ta-da, strawberry plant, which you can give somebody else.
So these really are some of the easiest plants to look after because they will just keep growing.
They just do it themselves.
Are these just weeds? Are they just weeds?
Not really. I mean, I would say a weed is really only a plant in the wrong place, apart from ground elder, which is just appalling.
Right.
I mean, saying ground elder actually is a weed, but it's not really fair because it makes it's very good for stabilising banks. It makes very pretty white flowers. The bees really like it. So it is just a plant in the wrong place.
Other plants that sort of split in this way?
So there are lots of other things like sedum. So any of the ornamental succulents, they are very easy to split. You literally dig them up. I dug one up yesterday and pulled it out of a pot and it just fell apart into about four parts very conveniently. And nice. I just replanted them. They're brilliant. Daylilies are another one. They're the ones that flower just for one day. They're also edible. They're delicious, actually. I had some in a stir fry fairly recently. They're really good.
Do you eat the flower since it's only going to last
the buds,
a day?
Okay, eat the buds. And if you've got a big clump, they make loads. Oh, you're not losing lots. Yeah, exactly. Some of the ornamental grasses were very easy just to dig up and split. Hostas, it's not essential, but it's dead easy. Just before they come into growth or in the autumn when they're going dormant, dig them up, cut them in half, you've got two.
It seems like there are quite a few things in actual facts. We'll come back in just a moment. We'll talk about pass along plants that maybe do it a little bit too easily and do
exactly.
risk taking over your garden. If you've got any questions, though, send them in studio@worldradio.ch. Hester will be with us for the next 45 or so minutes, so she will be ready to answer those questions. Send them in now.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre.
Talking about those pass along plants, and there are a few that risk taking over the garden somewhat. In fact, Hester, you're calling them garden thugs.
Yeah. Yeah, beware. And these are the sort of things people say, oh, it's ever so easy.
I like that, though.
I love ever so easy, too. Mm-hmm. I would also say when somebody offers you something, they say, oh, it's ever so easy. Do ask about have they ever had, how much of it they've had to pull up, maybe.
Like what? What some
mint,
examples?
I would say, is one of the ones that once it's escaped, it's very, very hard to eradicate. And the mint in my garden escaped out of the bottom of a pot.
That's quite impressive.
Yeah, into the lawn. But so the lawn smells amazing when
exactly.
it's mowed.
Exactly. Does it just smell lovely?
It smells lovely. It's not great for walking on. It's quite spiky.
Oh.
But
right.
it is wonderful. And should anybody want some, please just get in touch. I have some ineradicable mint. Tastes fantastic. Makes great mint tea. Wonderful in Pims.
Mojitos.
Yeah, exactly. Which you need a lot for.
Exactly. Is it great? So I don't know what the
really
issue is.
No. I would also say Melissa.
What's
as
that?
Well. It's another fragrant plant. It's a friend of mint. It's a cousin of mint, which can also be hugely invasive if you let it.
Didn't we talk about elder?
Elder.
We talk about it a while ago and say it's great for making drinks from. Or is that elderberry?
It's elderberry.
A whole different.
Ground elder you can eat, actually.
Okay.
You can eat it like nettles.
Good.
I have to say, you would have to, well, the size of the patch I've got in my garden, I think you'd have to sort of graze it like a sheep in order to keep it on top of it.
I see.
But it's really fine. It is good. I would say variegated ground elder, I'm going to put in the thug category. Fine if you can kind of trammel it in some way, a bit like bamboo.
Mm.
So if he's going to go into a particular bed that has got concrete at either end, brilliant. Fantastic. Otherwise, be really careful.
Yeah. Okay, so there are certain things that could be just a touch too easy. We'll come back and send in your questions as well for Hester.
Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester's here to tackle your questions. We've got a few of them. Hester, are you ready?
Okay.
I've got a question from Joe here who says, my neighbour and I want to jointly plant a border to divide our gardens. But
aww.
We don't have a big budget. Can you suggest some plants that are easy to propagate ourselves that might work perfect on topic talking propagation
That's
today?
That's very nice. What a great idea. Good
is
plan.
It is
a lovely
though,
idea.
Or is it bad because you might fall out with your neighbours?
I've designed a couple of borders that people are sharing with their neighbours, and it was a fascinating process because normally I only have one client to talk to about what they want, and I had two who had to kind of combine their ideas and what they wanted and what they liked and what they didn't like. It was a really, really fun project. I loved it.
That's good.
And also it was interesting because it let you see through but not see through on bits where they wanted to screen it a little bit.
Yeah.
It was great. So for this I would say let's take a step into slightly more complicated propagation techniques, and I'm going to talk about a thing called layering. So this, lots of plants do this themselves, so a bit like the strawberry runners where they touch the ground and they make roots and a whole new plant. Lots of plants can be induced to do this or actually probably already do it by themselves. So if you think about ivy, wherever ivy stems touch the ground, they make roots, they make adventitious roots. And lots of other plants can do this as well. So I would think about pegging down some of the plants in your garden. So you can take a lowish branch, peg it down onto the ground. So anything like forsythia or lots of other ornamental plants like that do this brilliantly. So you take a low branch, bend it down to the ground and peg it down. Tent pegs are good for this, or really any kind of, even a bent over skewer will absolutely do the job, and leave it there.
Because when it touches the soil, it will start to root there.
So in by next autumn, certainly by next spring, you'll have a whole new plant. You can sever it from the parent plant. So I think I'd have a play with that because it's quite a fun thing to do. And then you can dig them up, put them in your new border. The other thing I would think about are things that are easy to collect seed from. Cheeky seed collection, things like aquilegias and poppies and things like that. Or things that reseed round the garden readily. You may already have some babies of euphorbias and fennel and things like that, which will also give you a bit of height in your border. Just dig them up and stuff them in. Or maybe some seed packets. Seed packets are cheap. And they have, 300 of things. You probably don't need 300 of them. But if you put them, you either free sow them into the border space that you're going to do, or put them into propagation trays, just, trays of soil that have got them, so you can split them up more easily. Then you're going to have, 150 plants or something of whatever it is that you want. And they're very cheap, £3 or so for a packet of seeds. That's a really good way of getting new plants.
And just to reiterate, Hester would not advise planting mint throughout your border.
Unless you want a mint border, a mojito border.
You really just want your whole garden to soon be mint. I've got another question. Joe, I hope that helps. Let us know. I've got another question that's come in from Erica, who says, my son has a spider plant, that he got from school. He wants to give some of the babies away as gifts at the end of the year, but they're all rooted in water. Can we put them in soil now?
Isn't that a lovely idea? Wouldn't that make a great pass-along gift, a really nice teacher's gift for the end of the year, or even, for friends or whatever? That's a great idea. Yes, you can. So you can root spiderettes either in water or in soil. Water's marginally... People think it's marginally easy. It's actually just because you can see the roots.
See how it's developing
along. Yeah, exactly. But you can just take them out of the water now, put them in some well-draining soil, and he could maybe decorate the pots or something like that. That would be just a lovely idea. What a great idea. Do that.
Do it. And we've got another question that's coming from Ben, who says, we were given some marigold seeds by a friend in the autumn. How long can I keep them for before planting? What's actually the... I don't even know. What's the process with marigold seeds?
Oh, you just literally, you can either free sow them as soon as the first frosts are gone, or you can actually put them right now if you want to put them in pots, or you want to put them on propagation trays right now. They need to be very, very shallowly sown. So if you take them, they're quite long marigold seeds, they're quite easy to handle. So you just squash them onto the surface, put a very light covering of very, very light soil. So put ordinary seed soil is perfect for this. And then just water them and they should be up in about 10 days or so. They're usually good for about 3 years, so you don't have to sow them this year. If they're carefully being put away in an envelope in a tin, then they'll be fine for at least another couple of years if you don't want to use them this year.
Yeah, I hope that helps, Ben. If you've got any questions for Hester, all gardening related, especially if they're on our theme this week of pass along plants and propagating, then let us know. Email your question to studio@worldradio.ch.
Dig It, sponsored by Schillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Schillinger, let your inspiration grow.
Talking about pass-along plants and propagating and some of the easiest things that you can do. Talking of some of the easiest things that you can do, one time I had a sweet potato that ultimately just started to sprout, and I just thought, I'm going to see where this goes. It was metres long by the end of it.
They're fabulous, aren't they?
They really are. Is that counted as a... Can you propagate a sweet potato?
Yeah, dead easy. And actually, you can chop them up and have several.
Like that. So yeah. There we go. Even a sweet potato today counts in our pass-along plants.
It does. It's easy.
Let's talk about books. I know that you do love a gardening book.
I do love a gardening book. And I have to be quite careful with my library at home, because at some point I'm going to have to start chucking books out.
Never
giving them away.
Yeah, thank you. Never chuck them out.
So I've got two here. One is actually called Pass Along Plants. It's by Steve Bender and Felder Rushing, and it's published by the University of North Carolina Press, sadly only in 2000. 2002, you can still get secondhand copies. They are still around on the internet. And if you happen to have one in your library, hang on to it. It's a really, really good book.
And it's just called Pass Along
Plants.
It's
called Pass Along Plants. Yeah, very easy, very straightforward, very cute illustrations. So the other thing that I really liked right now is you could have a look at a just published book from Filbert Press. Filbert Press, a wonderful small press, called The Crevice Garden by Kenton Seth and Paul Spriggs. It'll give you lots of ideas on where to fit in all those succulent plant babies that you've just created. So it's about a lot more than just wedging succulents into suitable planting spaces. It's an excellent review of the newish trend of crevice gardening. It's based on modelling natural landscapes, but a more kind of beautiful step on from kind of the rock gardens of yesteryear. It gives a good review of what a crevice garden is. So if you're in Geneva, go to the Alpine Garden in Meyrin and go and have a look. They made one last year, and basically they're upright vertical slabs of rock which have got plants put in between them, and the one in Meyrin is particularly interesting because it's all up adult, sort of between knee and hip height, so it means that people in wheelchairs can wheel themselves in and out between these kind of long sinuous runs of rocks. And also, you know, if you're an adult and you're on your feet, you don't have to crouch down or bend down to see the plants. You just have to kind of gently bend at the hip. They are brilliant. It's a wonderful garden if you haven't been before, and it's really even more worth it to go and see that.
So is now a good time to go? Is there a particular month that you would advise?
Oh, I love the garden, the Alpine Garden, Meyrin. I would go every month if I had time. In fact, frequently when we finish the show here, I sneak off and go and have a little walk around by myself. So the book itself is The Crevice Garden by Kenton Seth and Paul Spriggs. It's published by the always excellent and engaging Filbert Press, who I love. They're great.
What about different events? If we need some more inspo, have you got anything that's coming up?
There's so much going on. It's like, mysteriously, we've had a kind of global pandemic and everyone's trying to catch up. It's extraordinary.
It's exactly like that, yes.
So if you fancy going a bit further afield, go to Chantilly near Paris, and that's this coming Friday, Saturday and Sunday. If you go to Journée des Plantes, chateauchantilly.fr, you'll go and have a look. I'll have a review next month of what we saw and what we did, because I will be going. I'm on the press jury this year. It's very exciting.
That is a little further than going to the gardens at Meyrin.
It is. If you're in Suisse Romande, the wonderful website Florens, Florens.ch, have a series of open gardens which they've created in combination with Jardin Lille, which is a very, very active, very busy gardening association up in Lille. And they have a wonderful selection of private gardens and public gardens who'll be opening specially if you want to go along. And it gives details of looking at, you know, what time they're all open, what's available, whether they've got loos or cakes or whatever. It's fantastic. Also on the 14th, 15th of May at the Arboretum, there'll be the Marché aux Plantes if you want to go along and top up the plants in your garden.
Quite literally
and
a plant market.
The fabulous Romain Mottier's Fête de la Rose is back, which is wonderful, on the 28th of May from 9 till 6 in the evening. We will have all the details on their website, and they are all cracking little events.
A rose, though, slightly more complicated to propagate.
They are actually a real pig to propagate, but so I wouldn't get them. So I would just go and buy them. And in fact, there'll be lots and lots of rose sellers there, and specialist people like Alan Chance will have their wonderful roses there.
Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester's here for Dig It. We've got some more of your listener questions, but before we get on to those, I would love to know, Hester, what is it very timely for? What is May a good time to do in the world of pass-along plants? What should we be looking at buying and planting now?
I would buy an aloe or a spider plant.
We talked about those. They're nice
and
easy.
Yeah, because they're nice and easy and they make their own babies. Or strawberries for outside. Maybe that'd be nice. And not only that, but it's also the Ice Saints days right now. So the Ice Saints are the 11th, 12th and 13th of May. They're Saint Mamertus, Saint Pancras and Saint Salvatius. And basically the idea is, more or less at lake level, although I think if you're gardening up at 2,000 metres, this might not quite be the case, it's the last likely frost. To be honest, I think it was already 2 weeks ago, but that's okay. And the reason for that, it is important for gardeners, is because you can then plant out your frost, not hard, your frost sensitive fruits and vegetables.
Like, for example,
aubergines and tomatoes and anything like that that might die if it gets frosted. So knock yourselves out, get yourselves out to the garden centres and go and buy some lovely plants. Or to any of the events like the Marché aux Plantes at the Arboretum on the 14th, 15th, or anything like that.
Let's take a quick look then at some questions that have come in last minute. David has said, if you're taking questions for Hester, I've got a couple of short ones. I replanted these jasmine plants, he says, in pots that we had before. They're a bit shallow. They started to look a bit iffy. He says, I've planted them into these deeper pots. Now, we do have photos. Thanks, David, for sending those in. Do you think that this brownish one is a goner? I would like to classify this as a question that goes into, we get these every month. Is it dead yet?
I think it's not dead yet. Jasmines do tend to go brown and a bit crispy if they get cold winds on them, because they dry out really quickly. Don't worry, it will come back. I would gently scrape the bark at the bottom of one of the stems, and if there's green on it underneath, it's still alive. Just leave it be. Water it regularly because it's quite dry at the moment, and hope for the best. Give it a feed.
Do love an is it dead yet question.
Yeah, not dead yet.
Not dead yet. Are you sure? Because the other one that he sent in a picture of a comparison.
Looks
a lot healthier.
It does. Give it a go. I mean, if it doesn't come back, it doesn't come back. But if it does come back, you'll be very cross with yourself if you dug it up and threw it away.
Keep the faith. Okay. Yeah. Also, another question for you and another picture. I don't know what I was doing. I replanted this Californian redwood off-centre in the back garden. Seems to have taken okay, but I would like to have it dug up and moved if we're putting a hedge in. Can it be done without killing it? And if I had nowhere to put it, do you think that the Arboretum in Aubonne would take it?
So from the photo, it's only a baby. So yes, you can dig it up. I would try and do it when it's not in a period of heat stress, like not now. It's quite hot. There's no rain. I would try and do it in the autumn if you can, ideally. And I think the Arboretum probably wouldn't want to have it because they already have it. Why don't you put it on Facebook and give it away to somebody if you don't want it?
Marketplace. Or just do a shout out. Does anyone want David's Californian Redwood? Get in touch.
Yeah, don't forget they get very big. Very, very, very big.
Good to remember. A question that's just come in on the text from Suzanne. When I'm repotting one of the lovely lavender plants that I got from Shilliger into a bigger pot, should I separate them or even cut the roots that are all bunched at the bottom in the shape of the smaller pot? What's best for the plant?
So that's a good question. So when plants get pot bound, which is what's happened to your lavender plants, so they start to twirl around the pot and it actually can strangle the other roots. Yeah. So try to tease it out gently.
Don't cut them.
And I mean, you if you have to, you do. But sometimes that happens, it's they've gone through the bottom of the pot and you have to cut the pot off the plant.
Yeah.
But if you can, tease them out as much as possible because you want the roots to not keep the shape of the previous pot. You want them to relax and enjoy the new pot.
So try and tease them, shake out some of the soil that might be left between some of those roots so that you can get them a little bit looser for the bigger pot. Lovely. All right, that's a good tip. Thank you so much, Suzanne, for your question. Hester, thanks for joining us. We will be catching up again in a month, and we've decided on the topic for next month because it was requested very much so over the last couple of months, actually. What are we talking about next
month? We're going to talk about bees, how to support bees and other pollinators in your garden.
I love that. All right, Hester, I'm looking forward to it already. Thanks for talking to me for Dig It.
Thanks.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.